Hello, I'm John Pello, CEO of the Canadian Council of Christian Charities. Welcome to another podcast from my blog, Christian Leadership Reflections, which can be found at ccc.org/john. Today's podcast is entitled The Powerful Pull of the Past. Michael Frost writes in his book called Exiles, "Victimized by nostalgia and buffeted by fear, the church has focused too much on merely holding the small plot of ground that it currently occupies to confidently reimagine a robust future. The result is a retreat into some fundamentalist us versus them model." Nostos is Greek for homecoming, such as after a long trip, and algos is Greek for pain. The words were combined in 1688 to make the word nostalgia. At that time, it meant acute homesickness. Today, the word means a sentimental longing or a wistful affection for a time or a place in the past which has happy personal associations. Until the year before I got married, the house that I was born in was my home. And it evokes fond memories of family celebrations, playing with siblings, safety and security, and supportive family relationships. In short, a world to which, from my perspective as a child, everything was simple and straightforward. All was good and all was at peace. As far as I knew, this was what the world was like, and it was normal. Life today is not normal. As an adult, I know the world is much more complicated and challenging and not as secure and carefree as it was in the experience of a child. There are finances, politics, international conflicts, social inequities, and all sorts of other issues making life way more complex than I conceived of it as a child. I feel nostalgia for the normal life that my home, birth home, represents, and the part of me that daydreams sometimes wishes I could go back to the world I knew as a child. But of course, I can't. To drive home the impossibility of even daydreaming about it, my siblings and I sold our childhood home 5 years ago, and the new owner demolished it. I'm left with only a memory that I can cherish, but not resurrect. There is no hope of a return. It's gone, and the adult me has a different normal that is reality today. The church experiences nostalgia, too. Many of our Christmas productions feature Victorian Christmases and portray a far more deeply connected social world than most people experience today. Ministries produce nostalgia. I have just over 500 episodes of Focus on the Family's great radio series, Adventures in Odyssey, which takes place in an idealized small-town America that we all probably wish we had grown up in. Many older people associate hymns nostalgically with a time in their lives of great church or spiritual experience. And just mentioning the words camp meeting can take people back 50 years or more and make their eyes sparkle with excitement. Even the King James Version can be nostalgic. It's not just another translation. Luke's Christmas story in the KJV takes me back to grade 4 in a public school, when every student had to learn and recite it by heart. Psalm 23 in the KJV takes me back to the magnificent church I grew up in and the feelings of wonder and awe it inspired in me for God. Older people in my own church today wax nostalgic about the glory days of bus ministry and an evangelism movie that attracted thousands of people. We remember when Canada was Christian and its laws supported a Christian worldview, when public schools had Christmas pageants and each day started with students and teachers singing God Save the Queen and then reciting the Lord's Prayer together. Recent studies show that on balance, nostalgia is good for you. It makes you feel more socially connected with others, something that builds positive feelings about yourself. That in turn boosts your self-esteem, which increases your optimism. You are happier and probably more successful because of nostalgia. Nostalgia provides context, perspective, and direction that give meaning to our lives. Nostalgia is similar to anticipation. which can be defined as enthusiasm for some future positive event. Nostalgia and anticipation are like two bookends, which keep us from falling over. Someone said the hauntings of times gone by and the imaginings of times to come strengthen us in lesser times. Collective nostalgia, the nostalgic memories shared by a group, strengthen the group and bond people together in a common narrative. But nostalgia has its downside. We can easily fixate on the past. Marketers have discovered how powerful nostalgia is. The internet, specialized TV channels, and memorabilia products replay the past for those who want to live there. A 2006 report in Psychology Today warned that overdoing reminiscence risks an absence of joy derived from the present and a reliance on past memories to provide happiness. Damien Barr warns, "You should not revisit the past as a way of avoiding the present or not thinking about the future. If you spend too much time thinking about the past, you are simply not going to be prepared for the future, socially or emotionally." If overindulged, nostalgia can give rise to a utopia that never existed and can never exist, but that is pursued at all costs, sapping all life and joy and potential from the present. And finally, people who are worriers who are already depressed will usually be more so after experiencing nostalgia because the memories tend to heighten the sense of loss or how far they are today from happier times. Dr. Konstantin Tsedekidis suggests that if people who worry or are depressed focus on the past in an existential way, in other words, what has my life meant, then they can potentially benefit from nostalgia. This is good advice for all of us. For example, I will benefit most from my nostalgia if I give up the idea of recreating the specific circumstances associated with my childhood home and focus instead on how that experience shaped me. What values do I want to carry forward? How can I make my children feel as safe and secure as I felt? What family celebrations should I be developing for my own family? How can I build strong family relationships? The church can likewise find ways to carry forward the ideas behind its nostalgia. For example, the King James Version is remembered so fondly for the beauty of its language. Do we produce anything so eloquent or beautiful today? Spontaneous prayers are good, but they aren't memorable in the way that a liturgy is. How could we bring back memorable, beautiful, even artistic recitations? How do we build authentic, deep social relationships in real life and not just portray them in plays? How do we make the church an important part of society without access to official power or influence? Something we must not do is get stuck trying to recreate the specific contexts and circumstances that existed in those nostalgic times. For much of the 20th century, most Canadians self-identified as Christian. There was broad consensus about Christian values and laws based on those values. Even the Supreme Court of Canada agreed with this assessment as recently as 1982. But the religious makeup of Canada has since changed forever. We can't go backward. This is one thing that I think is wrong in the church today, that there is a part of the church that yearns for the past and is stuck trying to recreate it. Canada has many religions within its population and a sizable irreligious population as well. If we try to go back by creating Christian enclaves within which we can pretend we have gone back, we have actually created Christian ghettos and withdrawn from the very society we are supposed to influence. We need Christian institutions to support our spiritual growth and our Christian mission work, but we cannot be faithful by walling out the bigger world. Nostalgia for a Christian Canada will keep us from imagining a fresh future in a pluralistic Canada. We can only be creative about our future when we accept the reality that, just like my demolished childhood home, Christian Canada has already been dismantled and reconstructed into something new. The church needs to adapt to this new reality. So we must recognize why the past has so powerful a hold over us in order to resist it. The past's power is generated by three things. It's certainty. The memory of what has already happened and been experienced overpowers the uncertain mystery of a future not yet lived. We must embrace mystery and accept that uncertainty about the future is the new normal. Also, its alignment with our worldview and values. The past is a safe harbor, while the future is an open sea with threatening weather on the horizon. We must embrace adventure and develop a higher tolerance for risk. And third, its ease of envisioning. If everybody just got saved, our problems would be solved. It's easier to think about than the question, how do we get our mission done in the face of strongly held alternate worldviews? We must embrace challenge and be more creative, persevere longer, and increase our motivation so that no obstacle will stop us from fulfilling our mission. What I thought was my normal life was only normal for part of my life. I live in a new normal today, and so does the church. I may be sad that society has changed so much during living memory. I might wish I had been born a generation or two earlier. I could wallow in nostalgia, but that wouldn't be reality. I need to live in the only time that God has given me. In The Lord of the Rings, Frodo says he's sorry that the ring was found when it was. I wish it need not have happened in my time. To which Gandalf wisely responds, so do I, and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. When the official organs of the state were supportive of our faith, it did not take a lot of faith to live faithfully for the benefit of others. The state carried a lot of that weight. And it doesn't take a lot of faith to live faithfully today if we accept the secular idea that our faith should be relegated to the private sphere. What would challenge our faith, Miroslav Volf writes, is if we took it seriously that by our faith we are to be a witness to others. That means living out our faith in the public sphere. If faith is bracketed out of our lives in the public sphere, at work or elsewhere, then it doesn't make much of a difference in our lives. Christ calls us to live a very public life. To the extent that the church is paralyzed into an unchanging, steady state, not adjusting to changes in the outside world, retreating into a smaller world isolated from the big world, it has failed to be the church. It cannot fulfill its mission with a fortress mentality or an us versus them attitude. The church is wrong when it retreats from or assimilates with the non-Christian society that surrounds it. In order to be faithful to its mission, the church must turn the focus of its creative effort and gifts from restoring the past to finding a way to conduct our mission in the future in the public sphere. The key point? God has us on a journey forward to his ideal future, so keep looking forward. God bless.